the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Oh my God, I'm thrilled to be here. This is so exciting. This is weird.
Is it weird? Is it weird to be here with us on a boat in the middle of the sea?
Yeah.
All packed into this one room? To be so close, to be in physical presence?
Yes.
Is it different than how you expected it to be?
I didn't have any expectations of it, but I feel like, what is all this that I'm feeling in my chest?
This is your millions. This is how you're supposed to feel. Mm. This is the excitement of doing something new.
Okay.
Doing something you thought maybe wasn't true. Maybe it isn't gonna work.
Yeah.
Maybe it isn't just me. Maybe it's just Gary by himself. Maybe it's a part of us together. Maybe it was something bigger than I thought it was. Maybe we're all connected. Maybe you don't understand how the whole universe works, and now it's coming together for you.
Yeah.
Because you can see that we are one.
Yeah.
You can feel that as you're in this presence right now, where you could feel detached when you're on the other side of a camera and a computer and in another physical location. But the same thing that you're feeling now is just a little bit more intense because you're here in physical presence of it.
Yeah.
And it's something new. Had this been doing the whole time, then you would feel a different way about it.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. It almost feels hard to breathe. Is it resistance or is it just, it's just a new feeling and I am, my body's adjusting to it?
Is it exciting? Is it fun? Is it interesting?
Yes.
Then it's
yes.
not resistance.
Okay.
Is it?
Okay.
Because it's a above the line emotional state of being.
Right.
A state that you are always have access to.
Yes.
And here is, this is your excuse to access it right now.
Right.
Right?
Okay.
So the energy that we're feeling now, that we as Joshua are feeling, it's the energy of the non-physical. The energy that is coming through Gary right now, the energy that he's feeling right now, is the same energy that you're feeling now because you're giving yourself an excuse to feel it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You're in this presence of something that you perceive as higher level.
Right.
However, it's not higher level. It's the level of reality that exists for everyone at every time when you're focused on what it is you want.
Hmm.
When you're focused on things that you don't want, you diminish this energy that is right here.
Right.
But now, since you're here, you can feel it.
Yeah.
And it's fun, isn't it?
It's
enjoyable.
It is. Very much.
Excellent. Well, we are thrilled to be here.
It feels good. So we were on the beach earlier and Mark was talking to Gary and asking how long he meditated, saying that Esther meditated for 4 months before Abraham started coming through every day, you know, as a practice. And Gary said that's about how long he, and I was laying there not really participating in the conversation, but I just had this knowing that if I did that, I would be able to do the, I mean, I know that I can do the same thing, that it's possible, but it was this knowing that I could do that. If I did that, that's what would happen. And I'm resisting that. And that's why I'm not doing that.
Well, then don't do it. Why would you want to do it if it's not something you want to do?
I guess why don't?
If you wanted to do it,
you
would have this energy, this burning desire to do it. You'd resist it for a while. And then whenever you were ready, like Gary resisted it for years, whenever he was ready, he did it. Not expecting anything, though, right? Just doing it because he had this feeling to do it.
Yeah.
And then he let into the feeling. He thought that meditation was weird in the beginning. And he thought meditation was a weird thing, even when he was younger and was exposed to it. And then when he heard that Esther was doing it, and then Jerry Seinfeld was doing it, and then other people were doing it, and that it was becoming more commonplace and it was helping them, he thought, let's see what this feeling that has urged, this desire that I have, is all about.
So then Wendy and Mark and I and Asher were just talking right before coming here about that conversation. And I said that, and I said that part of the reason I felt like I resisted it was I already, because of the access that I have to infinite intelligence through you and through my own thoughts and when I'm on my arm, the thoughts that I'm attracting, is that I already sort of feel detached from people in my physical reality. I have a
And you're thinking that if you go further, you'll detach even further.
Yeah.
Right? But what you're really going to do is be able to perceive them from their limited perspective and have this compassion for who they are and what they're going through, and you won't be detached from them. You'll be more attached to them, not attached in a negative sense, but in a compassionate sense, that you can see where they're from and that you can be yourself around them and be able to do the same thing that Gary is able to do with his friends. Some mm-hmm. friends he talks to this about mm-hmm. and some friends he doesn't. And the ones he has talked to about it, it's just brought them so much closer.
Yeah. So then the friends that he doesn't talk to about it, he was talking about one at the beach where it feels awkward and he...
But it always felt awkward. That wasn't part of this. Okay. It was always, they didn't think on that sort
right.
of level.
I guess it's a fear of loss. Like, I feel like there's already this divide. And if I were to do that, it would just get wider and
wider.
And
the fear of loss is the most...
Right.
Irrational fear. Because you cannot lose anything that you've attracted.
Right. So is that, I've had this feeling that this, I mean, things have been building and building and building. And then I know that this cruise is going to happen. And I feel like it's about, not that the cruise itself is going to launch me, but I feel like something big is coming or is going to
happen. Well, so what's the difference between something big mm-hmm. and just something? Why does it have to be big? What is there about this being big compared to something being small?
Right.
What are you wanting something big? Do you think something big needs to happen? Why can't it be something small, something small, something small, something small, something small, evolving, 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 evolving,
yes.
evolving, 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 getting better, getting better, getting better, getting better, getting better.
Right. Right. I see. Yeah.
It's this idea that something big could, should, or must happen in order for me to realize the potential that I have, rather than just go with the flow, let it unfold
yeah.
day by day, enjoy the day. There's nothing different whether it's big. Once this big thing happens, it's not going to be better than what it's happening right now.
Right.
There's not going to be this situation where you're alone with Gary in a cabin doing a private one-on-one Joshua life, feeling what you're feeling now,
mm-hmm.
enjoying this intimate conversation with non-physical,
uh-huh.
whether you're doing it yourself in your mind, whether you're doing it yourself
right.
speaking, or whether you're doing it with us.
Yeah.
It does not, is no different.
Yeah.
It's a fun event.
Right.
Right. And this is one moment.
Yeah.
So forget about any other moment. You know,
mm-hmm.
just go with the flow of each moment.
Mm-hmm.
You get an offer to come and do this.
Mm-hmm.
You get an offer to have this conversation. You get involved in that. It's all the same. There's not a big thing
yeah.
or a small thing. It's just a perception of it.
So since I was a kid, and I feel like a lot of people in this environment, you know, law of attraction, or just, I don't know, general spiritual environment, I've always felt like I was here to do something. Is that something that everybody feels throughout every lifetime? Like this purpose that I'm...
Okay. So as you know, you come to physical reality to expand through experience.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy is your possibility.
Right.
Right. And doing so, you intend mostly general things.
Mm-hmm.
To be free, to love, to have interest, to have fun, to do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe there's one or two or three or four more specific
right.
things you want to delve into a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Explore a little bit further.
Right.
To get a nuance of something. Possibly, right?
Uh-huh.
And so you have this inner desire, we will say, and these outer desires.
Mm-hmm.
And so you tend to see what other people have, see that other people are doing better, and maybe focus on these outer desires,
mm.
right? And the inner desires will, we will say, if you are allowing yourself to feel good and you're going with the flow of life,
mm-hmm.
will come to the surface and flourish on their own. There's nothing you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you can do is resist them by
right.
thinking they're wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine too. But that's all part of the process.
Right.
Right. So, is there something big coming? Well, what is big? Gary thought there was something big coming his whole life too.
Yeah.
He thought it was weird that teachers didn't notice him for being this unbelievably special person.
Yeah.
He thought it was, this business was going to be big. This thing was going to be big. This was the next big thing. And now it's this. Is this a big thing? Well, here we are. One-on-one having this conversation that millions may listen to or no one may listen to,
yeah.
right? Is this the big thing?
Yeah.
This is the moment. It's the biggest thing there is. There
yes.
is nothing bigger than this moment.
That's the thing. Okay. So I had this question. And as you were talking, I realized I keep feeling like I have this purpose. There's this thing that I'm supposed to be doing. And I feel like I'm not, like I need to be doing more. But then I have these moments of clarity where I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm doing exactly what I came to do. I'm doing it. I already
right.
am doing it. Even in all these little things like you're talking. And they're only little because I see them that way.
So this idea that you're not doing the big thing you should be doing
mm-hmm.
is what? Allowing or resisting?
Resisting.
Right.
I mean,
so when you have a thought like that,
yeah.
then you replace that thought with the thought of, I am doing it
yeah.
day by day. There is nothing too big. There's
right.
nothing bigger than what's happening right now in this moment. There's nothing bigger than being with my children in this moment, than being alone in this
yes.
moment, than being with this person in this moment, than being by myself in this moment.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing there is, right?
Right.
And if you allow for each moment to be the biggest moment you've ever had, then all you're doing is allowing everything, right? Mm. And then anytime you're in the moment and it's not the biggest moment you ever had, then you can make it into the biggest moment you've ever had, right?
Yeah.
And if you have that practice down, if you have that kind of clarity where I'm bored, oh, well, let's make this into the biggest moment I've ever had.
Yeah.
You know?
That's something that I've noticed, that I don't get bored hardly ever anymore. And I used to, but I just don't ever, even if I don't have anything to do, sitting and staring at a wall is one of my favorite things to do. Whereas other people don't like the idea of being idle.
How is that? Having that clarity and that focus and that ability to be happy looking at a wall and to get something out of looking at a wall.
Mm-hmm.
If you compare that to how you were, or how you see other people, doesn't that make you feel like you've gone to another complete level of existence and physical reality?
Yeah.
And isn't that what this is all for?
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that big? Isn't it big, the fact that you were born into this world and that you grew up and that you had a family and that you had, that led you to this and this and this and this. And now that you're on a podcast and you're on a cruise and you're a center of attention and people want to talk to you and they want to pick your brain and you're 30 something years old.
Yeah.
That's big. So isn't it interesting how you can think of yourself or as not being big, that something big's around the corner?
Yeah.
It's already big.
It is. It's huge.
It's huge. Who else is doing this right now?
Nobody. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
So it's all perspective, isn't it?
Right.
That's all we teach is perspective.
Yeah.
And if you can gain the perspective of your inner self that thinks that this moment right now is big, that this is the biggest moment of your life right now, this one moment, and that the next moment is going to be the biggest moment of your life.
Right.
And because you evolve through experience.
Right.
So you're having this experience now.
Mm-hmm.
So as you've had this experience, you're evolving. Next time you have an experience, which will be as you leave this room.
Right.
You will be evolving as you walk down the corridor.
Yeah.
You'll be evolving with each and every thought.
Hmm. Hmm. So something else we were just talking about before this is coaching, the idea of coaching. And that's something, I mean, Jeanette told me a while back when I was talking to her about the podcast stuff, people are going to be seeking you out and it would be good to set up a, you know, some system, like a payment structure so that you're prepared when they do, so that you already have it in place. And then on the live call, Victoria made a joke and said, so does that mean that Kyla should raise her rates? And I don't know. I guess when I need to know something, it will come to me. But I feel like I know that I have a block around the idea of people paying me. Because I was saying something to you guys on a call where the audio went out or got really wobbly. And then when I was talking to Wendy and Kate and said something about, I think about Gary paying me, it did the same exact thing where it turns into sort of a robot voice. And so I understand that there's something in me that has limiting beliefs around that. Is it that I'm not worthy? Or is it the idea that if I'm being paid, then there will be expectations of me?
Okay. When you wanted to do your podcast and you wanted to fulfill that fun thing that you were doing, you were thinking 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 steps in the future, right? And that's where you got fear.
Right.
So you've been receiving now here and there little bits and dribs and drabs and it's been fun and exciting, right?
Yeah.
And you haven't had to do anything to get it, right? And it's just coming in, right? And so that's is letting you go to another level as far as worthiness goes.
Okay.
If you can see yourself that the money's coming in, that has really nothing to do with it, right?
Right.
That asking for money is something that you will either do or not to do, but it has nothing to do with your value.
Right.
Because there are people who are paid huge sums of money who contribute little.
Uh-huh.
And there are people who contribute greatly and do not care about the money or do not want to receive the money for whatever reason. So take the money as a completely separate idea from what you want to do and allow the money to come in when it comes in.
Yeah.
Right? And then if it gets to be, as you get more confidence, as you build more of a base of a solid structure, then you'll be more allowing for more money to come in.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no rush for it to come in.
Right.
You know, as long as you're not having that fear of lack, you will see how it arrives. And you will be inspired, but you'll have resistance around it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be inspired, but you'll have fears around it.
Right.
And then you're going to say, listen, I need to push through this fear and just do what this inspiration is.
Uh-huh.
And this inspiration could be to build a website and could be to have a donation box on there.
Right.
And could be to say, if you want this, this is how much that is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Gary has the exact same thing. So it's,
and
Gary is not resistant to abundance at all.
Right.
He is a very abundant person.
Yes.
But when it comes to this, just as you said, he doesn't want anyone to have any expectations of him. And that's why no one on this cruise is paying anything.
Right.
But because he's allowing it to go with the flow, see what happens.
Right.
And then in the future, he will allow people to pay for, to be on the Joshua Live, mm-hmm. to pay to answer questions. Mm. He sees the value of the one-on-one, mm. right? So he's very comfortable mm-hmm. accepting money for that.
Right.
And people are coming more and more to a point where he won't have enough time to do that.
Yeah.
And he may raise the rates and he may not do it at all. And he may go into something completely different. Mm-hmm. Right? But for now, it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
So he's just doing what's enjoyable and allowing whatever comes in.
Right.
And that is what abundance really is.
Yes. And I see the progress that I've made, I mean, even just the past month or two for myself around the idea of abundance or my fears of lack, you know. And I see how things are just showing up when I need them and how I'm abundant just because I do have what I need when I need it.
You're in an ocean view room.
Yes.
On one of the most beautiful ships in the world.
Yes.
Sailing to the most beautiful destinations with the most fun people in the world.
Yeah.
And you manifested all that.
Yeah. And it's highlighted for me in, I was standing by Wendy when we were waiting to get into Atlantis and she was looking at these yachts and she said, how do they, like, why do I not have that? Why am I not a match to that? And I said, here's how I'm looking at it. I'm in the presence of all of this wealth. You know, and right now I'm standing next to these yachts. Maybe next somebody invites me onto their yacht. And then maybe, you know, a few steps later, I have my own yacht. Not even that I even necessarily want a yacht, but that's how I'm choosing to look at it. And that feels so much better for me.
And the yacht might be a sign of abundance for some people.
Right.
And it might be a way for them to seclude themselves away from people.
Oh.
If Gary was on a private jet, he'd be looking down, saying, what are those people doing there?
Yeah.
When Gary was on his boat and they were anchored up offshore, he was saying, look at those people on the beach having fun.
Yeah.
So that's what private yachts are. They're not really a sign of wealth. That's what private
right.
jets are. They're not really a sign of wealth. They're a way for people to get away from people.
Yeah. Huh.
People who desperately want to take themselves out of the general population.
Right.
Because they are trying to control the conditions and they get so good at controlling the conditions
yeah.
that instead of being with people and standing in line and milling mm-hmm. about, and they are unable to see how that's enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And so they make it the condition easier and easier and easier until
right.
they're all by themselves surrounded by staff who they can control 100%.
Right. That's right. interesting.
So abundance is the ability to be with whoever you want to be and be able to be with whoever's around you.
Yeah. I'm making progress there too. So much progress standing in line, waiting to get back on the ship, hearing everybody bitching about being in line. I didn't try to change them, but I did say there could be a lot worse places to be in line. You know, we're in the Bahamas. Like, how can anybody be mad about that? You know, standing
up. Look at that beautiful water, that
right.
crystal clear ocean,
yeah.
the beautiful views. The warm weather, the no rain.
Yeah.
All these other people were coming from snowy places, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And here they are complaining about being in line. And the view was two magnificent ships, blue skies, beautiful ocean.
Yeah.
And you could see the commonality of focus of people, not towards what is wanted,
right.
but towards what is unwanted.
Right.
And then trying to control that, of which is uncontrollable.
Yeah.
So the only thing you can control is your perception. In this case, you controlled that perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You said to yourself, here is a situation where I could normally complain.
Right.
And instead, I am going to choose to look at what I want. I'm going to turn the other cheek
yeah.
and focus on what is good. What a magnificent talent that is.
Mm.
And from that, you create what you want.
Mm.
You create the next moment, the next moment, the next moment.
Mm-hmm. One of the few places that I this is something we've talked about a lot, have fear. Fear comes up really easily for me is around my kids, especially when my ex gets involved with that. And so my son and I had this big thing where I just loved him through it and it was so hard, but I stayed in love. And then I saw him become who he really was, you know, through this big tantrum where he's hitting me and I'm just saying, I love you every time he's hitting me. And it felt like this huge success. And I told my ex about it and he didn't really say anything because he was just picking up the kids and he went. And then in our next parenting chat, and even that was a success, but it still brings up fear in me where he was saying, well, he doesn't act like that here. He's learning these behaviors from you. He's talking about me.
Thank God he's learning these behaviors from me.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that a wonderful thing? He's learning these behaviors from me, that he can be who he is. that he can vent, that he can get out his frustrations, that he doesn't have to have it bottled up inside of him like other children do. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Now, this is your perception that he thinks it's the wrong thing. Yeah. But look at who he is. Look at what he's doing. Look at what he was taught. Yeah. Look at what he's teaching. Look at what he's accepting of them and not accepting of them. He does not accept them to have a tantrum. That's why they don't have that tantrum. Right? If they start, if that those kids started the tantrum, they would be cut off at the first words.
Yeah.
You allowed it, right?
Yeah.
So what was the thing that did not work in that? Was you telling your ex something that made him fearful?
Oh, so I just don't tell him those things?
Why would you tell him? Something you know that he's going to be fearful of.
Right.
He's not on board with you. If you had told this to any of your other friends, that they would understand it, right?
Yeah.
He's only going to see fear. He can only see fear. Right. Now, if your son got an award at school or a good grade, he would see, he would not be fearful of that. If the son had got into a fight at school or got a bad grade, he would have fear. And as he has fear, he has to project it. It can't be him. It has to be someone else's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot be wrong.
Right.
He has to make whoever else is wrong.
Right.
Because there's nothing he has no control over his emotions.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing he can do other than making the conditions wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you can be compassionate in that regard to him, you don't have to have him face fear. You can have him feel soothed as if everything's right, because everything was right.
Right.
He just can't see it that way.
Yeah.
He is going to see it in a different way. Right.
Hmm.
Because he was not allowed to do it.
Yeah.
And his kids are not allowed to do it in front of him. Right.
So.
But you know that that's a huge breakthrough.
Yes.
For him to be who he is, you know that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then we'll see where this goes.
Mm.
You'll do it a little more. You'll do it a little more. You'll do it a little more. They'll go through stages. They'll go through stages. And just like you said, they will deal with this now rather than dealing with it later.
Yeah. Yes. So is it? The answer is yes. I was going to say, is it going to get easier, though? Because in that moment, it wasn't easy. And I wanted to do things different. I wanted to choose the approach.
You don't want it to be easy.
I don't want it to be easy.
You enjoy this big burst of breakthrough.
Oh.
So that everyone can see it, right?
Huh.
But it could be easy.
How?
Well, you'll have to figure that out. It could be easy.
Huh.
Everything could be easy.
Sure.
You could make it fun. You could make it silly. It doesn't have to be serious. He could be hitting you and you could be giggling and you could tickle him back, or you could make it into a game, or you could get him a rock'em sock'em blow-up doll that he could punch. You can make all these games and make it fun, but you like the drama of the serious breakthrough.
Hmm.
Which is fine.
Yeah. I don't have to think about that.
Well, to you, is a serious breakthrough something that seems more tangible, or does it seem if you made it into a fun game, it wouldn't be as much of a breakthrough? It would be a way of distracting him from what you think his real issues are. Right? So if you got him to giggle and laugh rather than deal with this issues of this temper, right?
Yeah.
Would that be, to you, as big of a breakthrough?
I guess no.
Right. So, but it could be if you want it to be. So what we are explaining here is that if you want it to be serious drama and tears and hugs at the end and understanding and letting him be who he is for you, because it's all for you, right?
Yeah.
Or you could, and if you like that, that's fine. Or if you want it to be easy, you can make it into a game and play games and tease him and tickle him and chase him around the house.
Huh. So that wouldn't just be distracting him? That would be addressing the same issues as I perceive them? Well, I guess it's because of my belief, so.
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't.
Well, you like the big breakthrough.
Right.
Right? You like the big thing. The theme of the big thing. The big drama.
Right.
The big whatever. The big breakthrough.
Huh.
The big moment.
Right.
So what if it was a bunch of little moments spread over a few years? He gets to be who he is. He gets angry. You tickle him. He's happy. He gets angry. You tickle him.
Get
a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. Instead of one big blow up tantrum, it's these little bing, 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 bing over many days.
Huh.
And he learns that way.
Yeah. Interesting. So something else that came up with my ex is this psychiatrist thing. I don't know. So as part of the agreement, the divorce agreement, I agreed to within 30 days go and see a psychiatrist, and he gets to write up his list of concerns and send them, and then I apparently address them and then follow the psychiatrist's recommendations. And I don't know if that's something I've resisted or I just haven't felt inspired to do it, and I haven't had a lot of fear around it, and so I've just kept saying it's a priority. You know what? I'm so sorry. I haven't taken care of it. I will. It's at the top of my list. And then I don't think about anything until the next time he brings it up, which he did after this incident. I don't know. Am I resisting that experience because of
what
fear?
What is the purpose of the experience?
To soothe him?
To soothe his fears.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And what could you get out of it?
Him being soothed.
And what else could you get out of it?
Expansion? I don't know.
You can get to talk to somebody. Yeah. You get another point of view, get another perspective.
Right.
What would be the fear in that?
That they'll say I'm crazy.
Okay. And that's an irrational fear, isn't it? Because we know you're not crazy.
Right.
We know that you're evolved.
Okay.
That if anyone's crazy, the psychiatrist and your ex are crazy. Because they're going by the old approach to life.
Yeah.
They're going by an approach that has proven to them that does not work.
Mm-hmm.
That it just does not work given the laws of the universe as you know them, as we know them,
right.
As other people know them. They're approaching where they're trying to change the conditions. And this is a condition he's trying to change. And you can be a malleable, easy flowing, go with the flow. This came up. Mm-hmm. Let's see where this goes. The curiosity of where this can go. And maybe something big will come out of it.
Huh. So what's interesting is that I at one point was inspired to, whether it was actual inspiration or inspired out of fear, I had an appointment. I found a holistic psychiatrist, you know, and I mean, I know that it was no coincidence. I had this appointment and then my grandpa got sick, or it was around the time that he died. But so I ended up having to leave town and cancel the appointment. And I guess, why did I have a wobble around it? And that's why it didn't happen?
You obviously have a wobble around it. We're talking about it right now.
Yeah, I guess so. But so that's why it didn't happen then?
Right. And now you've brought it up again.
Uh-huh.
Top of your mind.
Right.
You found someone good.
Mm-hmm.
He asked you about it again.
Mm-hmm.
So the only reason you haven't gone is resistance.
Yeah.
Right. And so why not go? What's the fear?
Well, money is one of the fears because this...
Who's paying for it?
Me.
Well, then you will say, I don't have the money to pay for it.
I've said that. I guess I haven't.
If you want me to go, you pay.
Yeah.
I'm not paying for it. If you want me to go, you pay. I'll be happy to go. You pay.
Hmm.
I'm not going unless you pay.
Hmm.
Or you go and I'll pay.
Generally, and I guess that's just fear. But it's just the same thing you were saying. If I were to say that, I'm not going to go unless you pay, that would inspire fear in him, you know?
Why?
And why?
Yes.
Well, because he would feel like I was trying to control him. Or this is the story, I guess, that I'm telling myself.
Yeah. Say the word and see what he says. Say, I'd be happy to go. I just don't have enough money to go right now. I'm not working as much as I do. I'm busy with the kids. You know, you have the full-time job. I don't have the full-time job. If you want me to go, I'd be happy to go. Unfortunately, I just don't have the money to go.
And so what if he said, but you could afford a cruise?
I did not pay for the cruise.
Yeah.
The cruise was a gift.
Yeah. So that's another fear that I have, a story that I've made up, is that he thinks that I'm here with a guy and that that's part of why he's acting out in these other ways, that he thinks that I'm... So do I just need... Yeah.
You're not here with a guy.
Right.
So who cares?
Yeah.
You have photos to prove you're not here with a guy, you're with a group.
Yeah.
You have excellent podcasts you can have him listen to prove it.
Yeah. Is it time for me to tell him about all of the podcasts? Is that something that's limiting me?
Should we tell you exactly how to run your life?
I wish you would.
And miss out on all the drama that you want?
You're just me, right? And so...
And miss out on all the drama and all the big breakthroughs that you want when you're ready to do it?
I don't know how. So...
All you need to know is... What is the fear blocking you? Is it time or is it not time? Are you ready or not ready? Are you inspired to do or are you not inspired to do it? Are you interested in doing it? Are you not interested in doing it? Does it seem exciting and fun to do it or not? Right? There are things like the idea of going to see a psychiatrist that you can resent and say, I'm not crazy, so I shouldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet you found someone holistic and you have no idea where this could lead.
Mm.
This could lead to an affirmation of your sanity.
Yeah. Huh. I hadn't looked
at it. If you have worries about being perceived as insane by a psychiatrist,
right,
then you have doubts about your sanity. So here is an affirmation, potentially, of how sane you are.
Yeah.
Of the sanity of these things. That we know that you know that is obvious.
Yeah. Something else, I mean, and again, these are just stories, because I don't know what he's going to send, this list of concerns that he gets to send to the psychiatrist.
Won't it be exciting to find out?
Yeah. The thought that popped in my head was, I don't want to have to sit there and defend myself, but I know that I don't. I know that.
And your holistic person you picked out mm-hmm. will never need you to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not a test.
Yeah.
It's a conversation.
Okay.
And who's the best conversationalist we know?
I'm pretty good. Huh. So.
You go to the psychiatrist. You open with the statement, I converse with non-physical entities. And my husband, or my ex-husband thinks I'm insane for that. We're just kidding.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, well, that's not why he thinks I'm insane.
That's just why everyone else thinks you're insane.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Speaking of, I had a conversation with my mom about like the most real conversation that I've had about Joshua yet. When it was coming from a place of her fear about this cruise and why I was going and what the group is and what Gary is. And it went so well. All these fears that I've had about it seem silly now, even though she's still, one of the first things she said, so who is this Joshua? And it was difficult to explain.
How did you explain it?
Oh, I had told her before about channeling. And so I said, what do you know? Have you looked it up at all? What do you know? Because that can give me an idea of the context to put it in for you. I don't even remember exactly what I said, but it's communication with these entities that are basically wherever we all come from. So it's talking to the other side, essentially. And she's like, so, I mean, is he saying that he's talking to dead people? And I said, no. And she said, oh, okay, good. And I said, but if it was,
Very much alive.
Yeah. I said, but if it was, I don't see that as a bad thing. And I think the whatever I ended up saying kind of calmed her fears about that idea. Because I said, I mean, I know people who do that, who, you know, not as a way of selling something, but just connecting with people who have
the most natural ability in the world.
Right. And I said, I've done that. I did that with Grandpa, you know, that's why it was so easy for me, that whole funeral process. And I don't, so I feel solid about it. I don't know. It feels like there's still something there, though. Oh, I guess it is. I told her the website and I said, if there are things you don't want to know, then don't look at it. And I guess I have.
Your mother had to be in a vibrational range mm-hmm. high enough mm-hmm. to even bring up the question. And okay. If she's in the range high enough, she'll look at the website. And if she's in the range high enough, she'll understand it. And if she's not, mm-hmm. she won't understand anything.
Yeah.
She won't read past another thing.
Okay.
But she will never see anything wrong with it.
Right.
Because there is never anything that we've ever said that isn't vibrationally accurate and isn't said with love. And anything said with love can be accepted by anybody.
Yeah. My fear isn't about what she thinks of you. My fear, like, it's loss of love. Like, if she sees me, all of my questions where I am, who I really am, you know, and she sees all these things that I haven't told her and that I don't know. I know that's not true. I know she's going to love me. She said that even if I'm doing
things. It's an irrational fear that's based in a possibility that's impossible.
Right. So why is this still such a big thing for me?
It's a big thing for everyone. It's the fear of loss.
Yeah.
It's the biggest thing for anyone. It's the only fear is the fear of loss.
Yeah.
So it's fear, we'll just say it's fear of loss.
What is it about my mother, though? Because I feel like, I mean, I understand the younger version of me had her up on this pedestal and her love and her approval meant everything to me. And as I've grown up and seen her, especially over the past year, like seen her just as another person, seen us as equals, I feel like our dynamic has changed where her approval and all that isn't as crucial to me, but it still feels really, is it just because she's my mom?
It's momentum.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
So there's a momentum built up.
Right.
And your perspective of her is changing.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go forward in this, mm-hmm. it'll change more. And as she gets older, it'll change more.
Right.
And you'll realize that you are the mother.
Yeah.
And she is the child.
She even said something in that conversation, not related to that, but I was telling her about what had happened with Dan. And she said, I'm glad you're so smart. And I said, I'm half you. And she said, oh, I don't know. You're smarter than I was at your age. You know, you're something. It's different.
It is different because from her vibrational perspective, you are an advanced being.
Mm.
And from your vibrational perspective, your children are advanced beings
mm-hmm.
because they come in with a higher vibration
mm-hmm.
based on the earth on the day they were born, which is the earth advances at a high rate.
Yeah.
That humans don't keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's why people have nostalgia about the past. People
think
things were better when they were at their prime. They are holding on to things instead of evolving. they're resisting, and the resisting gets built up, and there's more and more resistance.
Yeah.
And so their fears are fear of loss. So if you imagine how your children are now at this age, mm-hmm. and how they will be at the age, say, 15, mm-hmm. and then at 25, you lose them every time, mm. right? They are different people mm-hmm. at 15 than they are at 5, at 25, at their 15.
Right.
They are not the same people at all.
Yeah.
And how they perceive you will be different.
Yeah.
So that's a loss. If you perceive it that way,
right.
if you want to hold on to that.
Right.
Or you can say it's evolving, that it can never be lost because we are eternally linked and this relationship is evolving. Where they see me as something now, they will perceive me as something different later.
Mm-hmm.
And how they perceive you is different than how your mother perceives you, your ex perceives you, your friends perceive you.
Right.
You perceive you. It's all different.
Yeah. Something that's come up with Dexter, my oldest, is that so they have their tablets and they are able to download their own games. And I found Grand Theft Auto on his tablet, which is a violent game with prostitutes and things. And I have negative emotion around the idea of my son playing that game and ideas that I know aren't true about what that could mean, you know, him in taking these things in at such a young age. And I haven't, the first time I found it, I deleted it. And then he re-downloaded it and I saw it and he knows. So we've had conversations about it, you know, and he's like, why don't you want me to play this game? And so instead of saying, I don't like, maybe I have said, I don't like guns and things like that. But then I started saying, I like games where people treat each other with love and respect. And then he comes to me and he says, I really want to play that game. And I say, oh yeah? You know, like he's asking for my approval and I don't feel comfortable giving it. And so I didn't say it, but the message I think that I gave him is, I don't want to know. I know that most of my fear, I don't actually have fear about him playing this game and it turning him into a monster or anything. My fear is if other people find out that my 5-year-old has Grand Theft Auto.
It's awesome that you can understand what your real fear is.
Yeah.
Right? Not the fact that you think that this game will turn him into a monster,
right.
which is irrational.
Yeah.
But the fact that you think that people will consider you a bad mother, which is irrational.
Yeah.
And here's what we suggest. Delete his game while he's at your house and allow him to reboot it mm-hmm. while he's at your ex's house. And then you can say to your ex, we see this horrible game that you're letting him boot on his computer every time. I think we need to have you sent to a psychiatrist.
There's an idea. So that was another fear, not just about what if he were to talk about it at school or things like that, but if they were to go to my ex's and he said, well, mom lets me play this game, you know, but my ex lets him play it. So do I just leave it? Just let him play it if he wants to play it? And
so always think about, what are you trying to do here? You are trying to make yourself feel good.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it has nothing to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to have him, are you going to have yourself feel good by controlling the outside conditions? Or are you going to have yourself feel good by feeling good and then allowing inspiration to take action without fear? Okay.
Mm.
And the inspiration may say that this is not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
It may say that. Or the inspiration may say, let him do what he's going to do.
Right.
Or the inspiration may be to talk to your ex about it.
Yeah.
Right? But the only thing you have to do is realize that the idea of that game, in whatever form, whether it's you not being a good mother or him mm-hmm. turning into a monster, is an irrational fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dripping you down below the line. So when you're below that line, you're going to mm-hmm. get these urges and compulsions to change the conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And so the easiest thing you can do is delete the game. Right?
Yeah.
And that makes you feel better. But you're just changing the conditions. You're
not
learning how to feel good and let things go as they're going.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so if it's not that game as did you judge as wrong,
mm-hmm.
what else are you going to judge as wrong? His friends, his riding his bike in the street, his going to school on his own, his sleeping over at a friend's house. Where is this judgment of wrong going to stop?
Yeah.
And if it's not that game, who gets to say which of the games that are good or bad?
Right.
Is he just going to play Frogger? Is that good? Or are any good games good?
Yeah.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it's always coming down to you thinking about what it is that's causing you fear.
Right.
Analyzing that fear, figuring out if it's rational or irrational, and then proving to yourself that it's false. So how do you prove to yourself it's false?
I mean, I know I'm a great mom.
You know you're a great mother.
Yeah. I know he's going to be whoever he is, and a game isn't going to influence him to be something that he's not.
Exactly.
And if he's playing it, then he's a match to it.
At 5 years old.
Yeah. What does that mean?
What does it mean if anything happens? What does it mean if he gets a tattoo at 16 years old? What if it means if he has a girlfriend at 25 years old? What does that any of that mean? It doesn't mean anything, right? It means he is who he is. He's here to explore what he's here to explore.
Yeah.
And you can't create in his reality. You can influence it by allowing him to understand what fear is, mm-hmm. what love is, what he's here to explore, who he really is as an authentic self, allowing him to find his passions. Right?
Yeah.
So if you say this avenue of playing this game is not going to allow you to find your passion.
Right.
Right. And this passion might be creating video games that are appropriate for 5 years old.
Yeah.
It might be.
Yeah.
Right. And it might lead him into something else. It leads him into something else. It leads him into some emotional thing that leads him into something else. It leads him into a crisis that leads him into something else that is for his benefit because it's always working out for him.
Mm. Yeah.
And you will get a million mothers saying, how dare you? That's completely inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And you will get one mother who says that he should be able to do what he should be able to do.
Right.
Because he's a human being.
Yeah.
And he's here to explore life on his own terms.
Hmm.
So unfortunately, you're going against the crowd.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you're on the leading edge of thought.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're brave enough to talk about these things.
Right.
And to allow 6 million other people to understand your perspective.
Yeah.
And to gain from your insights.
Hmm. You say, unfortunately, you're going against the crowd, but that's something that I've always thrived on. Like, it really enjoyed is going against. I mean,
so you're the one who loaded the game.
Yeah.
Hey,
you
Dexter,
know what I think you'll really enjoy?
You want a really fun game? I got a good game for you.
Do you know what a prostitute is? You're about to find out.
4 years before you would have anyway.
4 years. I feel, okay, so something else that's coming up, I don't even know what the question is. I feel like I spend a lot of brain power trying to understand and figure out how to deal with my oldest. So my youngest, is it just because he's choosing the new approach so he doesn't need as much of my attention? Or I don't, what? Is there something more that I...
Youngest is easy, your oldest is more difficult.
Yeah, well, it feels that way.
Your youngest is giving you less reasons to feel fear.
Okay.
And your oldest is giving you more reasons to feel fear.
Mm-hmm.
Your youngest is complying with your approach and view and perception of reality that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And your oldest is conflicting with what you think is good more often.
Mm-hmm.
99.9% of it is good. It's just these little things that come up, right?
Mm.
So you want to change your oldest so he can be more like your youngest. Mm. If you had two of your youngest, but that's not how the system works, right? You get two opposites to work with.
Mm. Hmm.
And then at times they will flip.
Yeah.
And one will be easier than the other one.
That makes sense.
But it all is you anyway. It doesn't matter who they are.
Right. Growing up, I felt like I was the difficult one, you know? And so I got... But like you say, there were like my sister needed more time and attention in terms of schoolwork. And so I resented that attention that she got. She resented like the attention that I got, or I don't even know.
Okay. So again, it was just a perception.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything
right.
real. You could have perceived anything any way you wanted to.
Yeah.
So you choose your perspective.
Hmm.
So it's all about remembering the perspective of your inner self.
Yeah.
If you feel negative emotion, your inner self is feeling, seeing the thing a different way.
Right.
So if you have this perspective that your older son is being difficult,
mm-hmm.
your inner self is having the perspective that he's doing everything perfectly.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
And everything's going perfectly.
Right.
Right.
Hmm.
Because your inner self can't feel fear.
Yeah.
And that's why the perspective, it's a perspective of no fear. And the perspective of no fear allows everything to be as it is, as good. And it's just the human who wants to change what's happening because the human thinks the outcome should be different than what's really happening.
Right.
And all the human is doing is creating this inner conflict and stress
mm-hmm.
where no stress is really necessary.
Right.
Based on this judgment of what others will think.
Hmm.
And it's fun that you get to do this.
Yeah.
A lot of people do not get the experience of having two different children,
right.
an ex, time with them, alone with them, time mm-hmm. with them, that sort of thing. It's a completely unique perspective that has never been perceived before by anyone.
Yeah.
And you are contributing, especially as you are aware of a new approach to life and
right.
the laws of the universe and what's really going on here, how you get to deal with it. Because you could be living in your apartment, by yourself, without children, without love interest, without an ex, without parents around, and just feeling whatever you feel, but you're mixing it up. You're getting in there, and you're getting to work.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting to work on something.
Right.
You know?
So going back to the idea of me liking the drama, feeling like it's big breakthroughs, is that one of the questions that I find myself asking whenever we have, my ex and I have these run-ins or whatever, is that, am I going to have to do this for the next 16 years? And I know that I'm creating it. So is it just because I like the drama and that's why these things, because I feel like we'll be in a really good place and things are going really well and we're getting along really well and then something comes up.
Okay, so why do you want things to go well? Why do you want to get along well?
It's easy. It feels good.
There's no stress, no conflict. Right. The conditions are good.
Yeah.
It makes it easy to feel good in those easy conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But that doesn't mean anything. It's the work to and the manifestation events that come across that get you to expand.
Yeah.
And get to the next level and get to the something big.
That's true. Okay, that makes sense to me. And so me asking, is it going to be like this for the next 16 years?
Is taking 55 steps ahead.
Yeah, and it's also
is it happening right now in this moment?
Me thinking that I can't feel good unless he changes who he's being. So in this most recent conversation, it was light years different. Even though I still felt negative emotion, the way that I responded was completely different because I said all the things, you know, I think it's incredible that we have, you know, I understand why you're concerned and why this causes fear, but I think it's incredible that we have a five-year-old who not only recognizes what he's feeling, he's able to verbalize it, he's able to sit down and look at it and is willing to take steps to find different ways to deal with it.
And aren't we lucky?
Yeah.
Aren't we lucky?
Yeah.
You know?
So that's progress. And so
imagine all of this 5 years old who are just sitting in their room, not communicating.
Right. Okay. Well, that feels like relief because I've had this idea that I can't feel good if it's going to be like this for the next 16 years. But he may be like this for the next 16 years. But every time there is one of these things, I see how I am expanding from it. And then taking everything that I've learned from that and from all the other things so that when the next one comes up, it's easier. So it does feel easier every time. So maybe he's not ever going to come around. Maybe we're not ever going to be
maybe
getting
he's
along.
Never going to change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe you're going to come to a place where you don't need him to change.
Right.
And if you can get to the place where you can love and accept him as he is.
Yeah.
And love and accept your children as they are, then the only change is going to be how you feel about that.
Yeah.
And how fear, the impact of fear on you.
Right.
And how fear is easily diminished.
Right.
Or does it linger?
Yeah.
You know, do I dwell on this fear? Do I resolve the fear?
Mm.
So what you are working on, leaving everyone else out of it, is how you deal with your own fear.
Right.
Right. And so if you can make the fear diminish each time where it's less and less and less and less.
Right.
Now, the caveat to that is the more often you feel good, the more often good feeling things are going to happen, the more often these manifestations that you're experiencing right now will keep happening.
Yeah.
The more intense the negative emotions are going to feel.
Yeah.
Right. Because you're going to notice them more.
Right.
You go from a level of being where you are in fear 100% of the time, and not feeling good 100% of the time, to feeling good so often that when some stupid fear comes up, you're going to beat yourself up for even feeling the fear in the first place, and the fear is going to feel horrible.
Right.
And that's the greatest thing in the world, because like a baby, when you are born and the baby wants food or wants anything or feels a discomfort at all, they don't complain, they don't get in a sour mood, they don't get angry, they scream and kick and cry their heads off.
Right?
And if you're screaming and kicking and crying your head off, that's exactly what you should be doing. You should not stand for that.
Can you tell my ex that? It's okay for me to be screaming and punching pillows in front of the kids? Because one of the things he said is, I don't think it's good for them to see you losing control.
I don't think it's good for them to see you maintaining control.
Yeah. I guess what I said, I'm saying all the, I mean, yes, I'm already there. I'm where I think I want to be. Because how I responded to that is, I think it's important. I think it's good for them to see the loss of control and the process of getting back to feeling good.
Remember, you never have to defend yourself.
Yeah.
There is no defense. You say, I understand what you're saying.
Right.
I will work on that.
Yeah.
You're right. I will work on that. I understand what you're saying, and I will do my best.
Okay.
So maybe you should be paying for a psychiatrist.
So the things that he brought up about me losing control in front of them is that, I mean, that's just my own fear that I'm like, that the way I'm reacting is wrong or that I shouldn't be screaming and kicking and, I don't know, punching pillows. Well, you're saying that's exactly what I'm supposed to be doing.
You're not supposed to be doing that, but there's nothing wrong with doing it, right?
Yeah.
We don't say go and scream and kick and punch your pillows at 4 o'clock in the afternoon every Thursday. We're saying you should notice when you feel negative emotion, and it should feel bad, and it will feel bad. And whatever you do to get over it is fine, but realize that it is just a difference of opinion between your inner self and how you are perceiving the situation.
So this last time that I was in a funk, it felt worse.
It will feel worse because as a contrast to how you're normally feeling, it feels worse. When most people are living lives of quiet desperation, they are in a funk the whole time.
Yeah.
So one bad thing is no worse than one other bad thing. Right.
So
when you're in an elated state of being, in jubilance and joy, and when you come to a manifestation event and you feel the fear, it's going to feel worse. And that's good because you should be noticing that.
Yeah.
You should notice when your perspective is off. And then you can kick pillows if you want, or you can change your thoughts instantly if you want.
This last time, and again, when I'm in it, it feels like it's so hard for me to remember what it ever felt like to feel good. And then when I'm like, now that I'm feeling so good, I can't even remember what it was about, what I was so upset about. But in the moment, I felt like I'd regressed. Like for the first time, I felt like it was the same as it was when I was in this really dark place, you know? And I understand that I was in a lower vibrational state. And so I was receiving thoughts that aren't productive, but I thought, what's the point in even being here? You know? And then that was scary to me. Like, even though I know it's physical reality, we can come and go, and it's not a big deal and all of that. But the fact that I don't...
So sure, here you are on this path of evolution.
Yeah.
Having evolved so much over the last year.
Yeah.
That it's a completely different version of you.
Yeah.
And then when you experience the same negative emotion that you had a year ago, you think that it's regression.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't regression because you wouldn't have thought that had you not made this progress, right? You wouldn't have been hard on yourself had you not made this progress. You would just say, here's another negative emotion. So the first thing that people do is when they have these weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of improvement and evolution at a high pace, and then something trips them up to make them go back to their old approach to life, they just have to start thinking again from a perspective that everything is evolving and it's just another fear.
Right.
And go back and start over again, it's just another fear. So we can say that the old approach to life is like kicking alcohol. And you can kick it for 50 days, and on the 51st day, you have a lapse of old approach to life.
Mm-hmm.
And you start over again, 52nd day, the new approach to life.
Okay.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yep. You are a conscious creator. The fact that you are consciously understanding the fear and the negative emotion and the limited perspective is that you is the essence of creating your reality.
Right. Hmm. So, I mean, the idea of regression brings Steve to mind. And I know, and I spend a lot of time accepting that this is all just part of his path and it's not possible to regress and all that. But what is he doing? And it doesn't even matter because it's not me.
So you will come to the teachings that we offer and the perspective that we offer, and then you will evolve to another level.
Mm.
And that's all part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
We are not a evolution of your life. We are a new perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get that new perspective, then you will be interested in new things.
Mm-hmm.
And you will go on to find out new things.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have an attachment to this, and you can think of it fondly, and you can keep in touch, and you can do it, but you will expand past this to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there is no, there's this fear of loss again, that you, once you've had these teachings, once you've been in exposed to this, that this is all there is.
Right.
But just like people get to The Secret, they get to Abraham, they get to whoever, they go on and on and on and on. They come through us, they go on to the next level, the next level, the next level. It's an evolution, right?
Uh-huh.
And we are saying the same thing that we're saying the first day that we ever wrote a word, that there is no wrong, as we are now 3.5 years later.
Right.
Right. And we will continue saying that, and you will get new pieces of it, new pieces of it, new pieces of it. You will reach a higher vibration, a higher vibration, a higher vibration. You will live, you will expand into something else.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a teacher yourself, and you will go forth and continue with this as a higher evolution, right?
Mm.
And seek out more and seek out more and seek out more and bring more and more to it.
Mm.
We are expanding through your questions too, right? So this, we are evolving as well.
Right.
But our entire message is a message of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And if you understand how the perspective works from the non-physical aspect of it all,
mm-hmm.
where you can see yourself and your life and the lives of others from a higher perspective, then you can understand how fear works with it. And you can diminish the fear. And as you diminish the fear, you diminish the resistance. And so now your life evolves day by day, moment by moment, nothing really big having to happen any day.
Hmm. Interesting. I don't know. I feel like there was a question in there that is not being answered, and I don't know why.
Well, what's the question?
Well, I guess, I don't know.
So imagine you, Kyla, being part of this evolution of Joshua.
Right.
And then you leave for whatever reason. You have another interest. You have another opportunity. And then people ask, what happened to Kyla? Right? And then Wendy will be there. And people ask, what happens to Wendy? And people will be there. And there'll be new people and new people and new people. And you will go on and do your thing. And they'll go on and do their thing. And it's all part of the evolution.
Okay.
No one is supposed to stay here for life. It's not religion.
Oh.
Right? This is not a dogma or a religion. There is no higher levels. All we're teaching is a different perspective. Once you get that, you will find an interest in something more, and you will go in that direction. And you will evolve as part of that.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. That's a totally different perspective. I think because of the certain conditions, I don't know. I guess I've been judging things as wrong, but it's just what's supposed to happen. Yeah.
Is there any wrong?
No. No, there's not.
We've said that before.
Yeah. I think I've heard that once or twice.
Very good. Excellent. Well, why don't we save some more for tomorrow?
Okay.
And this was a fantastic practice.
Yeah.
And we appreciate your contribution to this.
Yeah.
And to all that is. And to the millions listening from now and into the future. And we hope that you will be with us for the next foreseeable future. And if something more exciting happens, then go forth into that. But don't feel that you are confined to anything. You are a limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance.
Right.
So there are no limitations. You can do anything you want to do. And with that,
we are complete.
We are complete.
That was so cool. Oh my gosh. It was totally, I mean, it was exactly the same. Well, I mean, not exactly the same, but in terms of like how you did, I don't know. Was it weird for you?
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.